for us. Starting a new year tonight at midnight. New day. And I think that as you and I are becoming more active, more aggressive, as I watch us grow, I think we're ready for a somewhat more mature, advanced teaching. In a sense, not that I'm such a great teacher and I can teach you some great knowledge. No. Thinking a little finer, thinking a little deeper, thinking a little more careful. And so we're going to begin a series, and I'm really just developing it now. I'm just pulling in pieces. And it's going to involve wisdom. That will be, if you wanted to put it all in one word. And so I read to you the story of Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, and his first act after he asked God for wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. He was the king. He had been raised by King David, a brilliant, godly man. And there was a conversation between Solomon and the Lord about what you want. And rather than ask for riches, Solomon said, "Well, you've given me all these people. I would really like to have wisdom to lead them correctly, to lead them in a way that honors and glorifies you." And God really liked that answer, that Solomon's prayer, Solomon's request, wasn't about Solomon, it was about God. It was about, "I want to do you right and lead your people correctly." And so God was very impressed with that, and he said, "I'm going to give you that wisdom, and I'm also going to give you some stuff too. I'm also going to make you a rich, wealthy man." The scriptures actually say it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you will arise after you. I give you also what you didn't ask for, and that was riches and honor all of your days." So this is what we need. I am convinced that we are ready for it, and as you and I venture out into the community and into people's lives, we have drama going on in our lives, we have situations, we have growth and change. Maybe more than anything right now, you and I need a good dose of wisdom. And maybe the first place we could start would be to just ask ourselves what our prayer life looks like. What's my prayer list look like? Is it constantly about me, my dog, my cat, my critters, my health, is it constantly about me? Is it constantly about this person? Or is it about God? Is it about, "Look, I want to walk with God and I want to do it right. Lord, help me with that." Because it's not as easy as it sounds. It's difficult. And just the fact that there is such a thing as wisdom and discernment means we just don't walk out into life roughshod and do whatever we feel like doing, right? I just don't get up every day and just get to do what the Spirit leads me to do, so to speak. We like to throw that one out there. whatever I feel like I'm doing because I mean well. The fact that there is this thing called wisdom and discernment means that we have to be, there's a carefulness, a correctness to how we approach people. In this story that I read to you, I'm thinking about what Solomon could have done. He was the king. And two prostitutes, for crying out loud, two pregnant prostitutes, for crying out loud, come to get an audience with him because they have a problem. And I'm thinking, if that's me, I say, well, you got what you deserve. Go take care of it. You're two prostitutes. You're pregnant. You're totally wrong. What are you doing? And you want me to fix your problem? That would be an answer I would give. Or the king just should have said, look, I don't have time. I don't have time for prostitutes. What are we doing here? Come on. I'll delegate that to you or to you or to you. I really don't have time for that. Why are you bothering me? I've got finances, I've got armies to fight, I've got food to prepare for the kingdom. I've got so many things, and I get two prostitutes, pregnant prostitutes, living so far off the planet, and you want me to figure out your little peddly problem. I just don't have time. Be gone. I don't even want to talk to you. Could have done that. He could have said, I'll tell you what, since this is so stupid, we'll take the baby. We'll take the baby, thank you very much, and I will have some of my ladies here in the castle, and we will take care of this, make sure this child gets a good home. Neither one of you are fit for this child, and with this going on in your life, we'll take the baby, and we'll raise him here and find a good home for him. And he could have done that. But instead, his heart seemed to go into this situation. He thought about it, and he asked them, what's your story, and what's your story? And he seemed to have a heart for it. And then with that new wisdom that God has just now imparted to the king over his kingdom, and two of the lowliest, sinfulest, bedraggled subjects in his kingdom, now he displays this incredible wisdom from above that so totally shows the heart of God. I think you and I need to pay attention to that. That God gave him this great wisdom that he asked for to govern. And it says in this story, if you read it, to do justness, to do justly, to do rightly. What God blesses us with, the talents, the skills, the spirit, and I hope the discernment and the wisdom of him, he gives it to us to use for the least of these, for the worst sinners, for pregnant prostitutes, for anybody. We are to do justness, God's justness, for all people. It's not just for some and not others. And that's one thing this story tells us, that God has a heart for everybody. And I'm giving you a gift and a talent. I'm giving you wisdom. Use it from top to bottom. Everybody gets to benefit from this wisdom. And so the story, one of my favorite in the Bible, he takes the living baby and says, well, let's see, I can't figure out whose it is, yours or yours, cut him in half, give half to you and half to you. And of course the true mother's like, no, don't touch him, give it to her. And he knows right away who the real mother is of this child. And so she gets the child. It's not always that easy, is it? And wisdom's not easy. The situations that will come our way and that are already coming your way, they're not easy decisions. Some of you may have already, but walk a mile in Wendy and Wes's shoes. Walk a mile in Matt and Marcia's shoes, looking and waiting on really critical, serious surgeries. Walk a mile in Dave Peel's shoes, one surgery after another, back and, I mean, they need discernment. What do we do next? And I'm glad that Marcia was kind of, because she's probably the one that's ill or hurting is not really making, you know, the decisions at this point. The other person's kind of steering the ship, going, here's the medical care, I'm taking care. I mean, she needs wisdom and discernment. There's 50 things. What do we do? What doctor? What hospital? Where do we go? I mean, walk a mile in their shoes. Think through this. It's not easy. It's just not, well, that one will do, or that one will do. These are critical situations. You and I, this upcoming year, and we have in the past, it's not going to change. It may only get harder. We're gonna work with people in our lives, in our families, at work. Here at church, we're going to come across situations, and there's going to be wisdom needed. There's going to be just a few choice words needed to keep things straight, to keep things going right. And we can't, if you do, or if I do, if we just kind of, well, this is what I think, man, we will make a mess of things. That's not God. God says there's wisdom and there's discernment and it's keen and it's sharp and it's truthful and it's powerful. It's brilliant like this, and we can have it. But it will take some work. It does not just come by getting up in the morning and putting your clothes on. It takes work. But God is glad to give wisdom to us. We'll need it. As we begin to minister to various people, how we minister, how we share our hearts with them, they come into our church or we go out to them, how we approach them, it's all going to take wisdom to honor God and to do it correctly and justly His way. It's all going to take this wisdom. So that's where we're going to go in the next several weeks. We're going to talk about some of the finer points of approaching other people, caring for other people, doing justness and right by God with other people. So I want to read a passage to you, make a couple of thoughts, take communion, send you out into the freezing cold. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. Introductory, we'll probably come back to this next week. I'm going to read this passage to you. Mark has it up on the screens. I'll explain a little bit of the background of this to you and make a couple of observations that I think are critical observations for us today, and then we'll take communion from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before He made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. When He made firm the skies above. When He established the fountains of the deep. When He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside Him like a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, this is us, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. So here's some background to this passage. There are three potential ways to look at this passage, and two are really close, and one is my thinking, one I have sided with. And that is to say that as Solomon uses this anthropomorphic poetic language, which means he takes something that's not human and he gives it human qualities for the sake of writing and teaching, he has taken wisdom and posed her as a beautiful woman and given her human qualities here and talked about her as a person. And so that's the poetic language. That's the mechanism he uses as he writes this. I am of the camp, I am of the people that say our whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, every book is talking about Christ. There's some part, there's some theme, there's something in there, it's pointing to Christ. I'm of that thought. There are others who will say, that's talking about wisdom. It's not talking about Christ. However, Christ is the fulfillment of God's wisdom. I will give you that. And those are the two primary. There's another one that's kind of a little bit of both. But some people will say, well, that's not Christ. But Christ is the fulfillment of that. He is God's embodiment of wisdom. Okay, if you want that one, go for it. I think he's also talking about Christ. And the reason I think that is that this fulfills everything that Christ said he was. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says that the whole world was made by him. It says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And that kept saying here that he was brought forth. Didn't say he was given birth like a child. It says he was set up, he was brought forth, he was exposed. He is the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. He created all things. Christ created all things. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and all things by him hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by his blood. Colossians chapter 2, he writes, I'm praying that your hearts will be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden, buried, seen, exposed, lived out in Christ. He says, I'm the firstborn of all creation. I created all things. Heaven and earth, I did it. I hold them all together. Everything. And that's what Proverbs says exactly. And then it says, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor. And that's grace. Whoever finds me finds life. We're not saved by wisdom. We're saved by Christ. We're saved by grace. And whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me, you injure yourself. And if you hate me, you love death. That's Christ. So I'm of the camp that says Solomon being raised by David, a man after God's own heart, being taught, being given this wisdom, was able to be one of the most beautiful writers, write some most beautiful poetry, the most beautiful wisdom literature. He used this anthropomorphic thing about this wisdom, all pointing us to the fulfillment, to the embodiment, all saying this is a picture of the Christ. It's an amazing thing. He created all things. In verse 23, Proverbs 8:23, I'll let you in on a couple secrets. It says, ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. The word set up really means poured out. Ages ago, before the foundation and the beginning of the earth, I was poured out. Like a drink offering, I was poured out. They had drink offerings that ratified covenants, that sealed a covenant, that fulfilled a deal. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ was poured out. His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. He says, ages ago, I was poured out. This is what I am. This is what I'm about. This is my love, my life, my wisdom. Everything pictures Him being poured out for us. So there we have it. This is where we're going. We're going to learn the finer points of life and of loving and of healing and of ministering and of caring for one another and others. We're just not going to walk into church and do and say whatever we please or think or feel. That's not godly. He's given us books of wisdom literature, volumes of wisdom, living, and literature that glorify Him and His justness. And we're not going to use this trite, stupid saying, and I call it that, and that's what I think it is, when we make excuses for our poor behavior by saying, oh, the Spirit just led me. Oh, the Spirit will just lead us. That's not how the Spirit works. Spirit works through the Word of God and the wisdom of God and the beauty of God and glorifies God. And Spirit just doesn't blow its mouth and do whatever it feels like doing. So we're not going to use that. We're going to learn about the wisdom of God that the Holy Spirit does use. It's a gift of the Spirit, this wisdom. And it'll bind us together. It'll draw us together as a body. And it'll help us to watch out and to care for one another, to move as one, to love our community, to love our neighbors, and to love each other with wisdom, with the beauty and justness of God. And we're ready for that. We're ready. So, as we look at this, there are two things I want you to see, and I want you to know. And this is wisdom. This is God 101. In our day, we have a lot of people out there, a few in here, who say something like, well, that book and that wisdom book that you have there, Terry, is old. It's very old. And it's actually somewhat outdated, I would say, because of science and technology. What we've learned today and what we're capable of learning. Now, I can give you a lot of good arguments against that. But let me say that the wisdom of God is not time sensitive. Okay? Number one, the wisdom of God is not time sensitive. So this wisdom in Christ was set up, brought forth long before the earth was ever made. He made it. It's still, this planet's still revolving, still moving, still turning, still set, still held by Him. It's still functioning today. It's not time-sensitive information. It was brilliant. It formed a universe long ago. It formed our planet. It says here that he drew a circle on the face of the earth. Literally, he put a compass on the face of the waters, on the horizon of the earth. Did you know back then that the earth was round and not flat? I thought they thought the earth was flat when Christopher Columbus sailed that ocean blue. But it says here it was round. Even before Christ, there was a circle on the horizon. I think mankind is just discovering God's wisdom. And as we discover more and more, because information and wisdom is time sensitive with us, because my wisdom grows outdated, I want to apply that to God and say, well, that his must be outdated too. And what's really happening is, as we learn, we are discovering more and more of his wisdom, which is not outdated. He knew the earth was round long before we did, and he told us that. So we discover more and more of him. We don't leave him behind. His wisdom was here long ago. It's not time sensitive at all. Ours is. What we learned 10 years ago is outdated today. Your computer that you have today will be old hat 5 years from now. We're moving ahead, but we haven't even begun to scratch the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, secondly, is this. It's not about the what or the time. It's about the who. It's about the who. It's God's wisdom. It doesn't matter when he had it. It's about him and what he did. It's about the Creator God. If you find someone else who created a universe, I'll listen. If you find someone else who created a solar system, I'll listen. If you find someone else who holds it all together, I'll listen. Because it's not about the time or how old this is. It's about who wrote it and what he did. What he is. He is the God and he is the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of life. He gives us life. And he said, those of us who find him find life. And those of us who don't injure ourselves, and we are watching people around us being injured right and left by their stupidity. And if you really just hate me, you love death because you are going to die. His wisdom is not time sensitive. It's not about how long it's been here. It's about who wrote it and what he's done. And he says, I poured out myself for you long before the earth was ever established. We knew Jesus Christ would be pouring himself out for us because he loves us. And this is my final point before we take communion. I don't know if you caught it in here, but in verse 30 it says, I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. That's our God. Our God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the embodiment of all he is, the fullness of God dwells in him bodily, the fullness of wisdom. They're rejoicing in each other, and as he created this planet, this inhabited world, they looked down on the planet, it's all of its people, and they were just filled with joy over this creation. And then looking at mankind himself, looking at those individuals, they said they were just rejoicing over us. They love their creation. They love what they've built. They love those people on that planet. It was beautiful, and there he was beside him, rejoicing daily over their planet and those people made in their image. They rejoice over us. They've danced over us, Bible tells us. They love us. And long before they made this, they knew we were going to go astray and He was going to pour Himself out for us because He loves us so much. They love us so much. All that wisdom, all that brilliance to create this thing and then to look at its inhabitants and to say, aren't they beautiful? I'm going to pour Myself out for them. I'm going to show them favor that they might have life in us. And we'll give them our wisdom so that they can know us and live for us and know the beauty of living this life as we designed it to be lived. That's an amazing thing right there. That's an amazing God right there. And who are we but little ants on a ball to say, ha, I'll live life my way, thank you. Whoa, the height of stupidity, the height of rebellion to a God who loves us, who rejoices over us and says, you're beautiful, I'll pour Myself out for you. That's an amazing thing. That's the God we serve. That's where we're going in the weeks ahead. We're going to learn about this wisdom to live life. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling. I want to go there. First, we need to take communion. Go home and get warm. Eldon, do you have servers to serve us communion?
Yes, we do.
Would you come up, please? Awesome. So I told you that I would share communion from Proverbs, and actually we've already done it a little bit talking about being poured out, but I want to just move forward and with my thinking that Christ is all over this book of Proverbs. And as we take the elements, take the bread and the cup, I'll show you what I mean about what I think are shadows, what I think are kind of maybe a roadmap pointing to what's happening and what's coming. It's the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, obviously it was animals, cattle and birds and things, and their body would be broken. And their blood poured out for us. But then it became Christ. And so in Proverbs, then it says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts, and she has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. And she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come and eat of my bread. Come and eat of my bread. Jesus Christ is wisdom of life. And it used to be slaughtering beasts, but now it's wisdom itself that was broken for us. It's Christ Himself that was broken for us. And He sent His people out to cry out at the mountaintops and the rooftops. You who lack sense, come in and eat my bread. It starts right here. Come in and eat this bread. Gain life. Gain favor. Come and eat the bread of Christ. Be wise. Gain life. Dear Heavenly Father, we eat this bread, remembering Your broken body on the cross. Knowing it's a wise thing to do, to come to Your house, to come to Your body, to come to Your cross, to gain life, and to gain favor from You. So You've cried out, You still cry out, Now we cry out, come. Come to Christ and live. Come to His broken body. Come to the bread He's prepared and live. Eat from this table. Know the wisdom of God for this life. We thank You. We eat this bread in remembrance of You as You've told us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Let's eat the life that was broken for us and now gives us real life in Him. Same passage of scripture, I just stopped. It says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Live life. I don't think there's a better example of the stupidity of someone who thinks they know everything there is to know about life and are so far away from anything sensible. There's not a better example than me. Back sometime, somewhere in my life, I thought I knew it all. I thought I had all the answers. I thought I would take you there. I was all that and a box of chips. I was the man. I knew how this world functioned. I knew what was cool, what was right, what I needed to do. And the day came when the Lord called me to come and eat at His table and drink of this bread and drink of the wine He's mixed and find life and live. And I certainly lacked sense. And so maybe you do too. Maybe you look back at who you once were years and years and years ago, and now you're like me. You're just discovering, you're turning over rocks now of Christ and just seeing this beautiful wisdom, the treasures of who He is, and you're just amazed. I wish I had 100 more years to follow Christ and to learn about Christ the way I'm learning about Him now, to see the beauty and the amazement of Him now. Man, I wish I could do it all again. Amen. But I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I did that. So it's kind of a weird place, but we know the wisdom and beauty of Christ. We're discovering it. We're growing into it. It's amazing. We've found life. And now we're going to walk with insight, is what He says. We're going to walk with insight and live. We're going to drink of the wine He's mixed on the cross. And we're going to live. Dear Lord, thank You. Thank You. You've provided everything we need to live. You've provided everything we need for insight and for living. We thank You. And we're hungry. We're hungry now to sit at Your table and eat Your bread and drink Your wine and to live with insight. So Lord, I pray, I'm asking You, it will be by Your grace, it will be by Your power, it will be You filling us with the bread and the wine that You've prepared. And I'm asking for it now, for this family of believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the last scripture of the morning. You'll be hearing more from this scripture later. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the foolishness of what we preach to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We're not talking about the wisdom of this world. Through their wisdom, they deny Christ. God's stupidity, God's foolishness, if there even is such a thing, is so much more than the wisdom of man and of this age. We are not talking about that wisdom. We're talking about a supernatural, spiritual wisdom of Christ, embodied in Christ, found only through Christ, by the grace of God. The foolishness of preaching the cross, Jesus Christ, is the embodiment of God's power and wisdom. He's all we need. He's everything. He fills us up with His bread and His wine. Let's drink together. Lord, the Apostle Paul prayed. His prayer wasn't about himself. It was that we might comprehend and understand in our hearts and our minds the full love and power and beauty of Jesus Christ and of what God's done for us, the power of the cross, that we might comprehend the riches and the treasures of what we have in Him. And I pray now that that is our prayer. In the weeks ahead, as we dive into Your wisdom in Christ, that we can comprehend the beauty and the treasure of what we have in the wisdom of Christ. That we can love each other and love others, not with the wisdom of this world, but with the wisdom of the One who poured Himself out for us. Thank You for Your blood. Thank You for pouring Yourself out for us, for washing every sin away. And we lean into You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We got a closing song, y'all. This is what we're going to be doing. Now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep My ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Hear instruction and be wise. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at My gates, waiting beside My doors. Blessed are those. Blessed are those who listen, who watch and wait for the wisdom of Christ.